Can you hear me okay?
Should be fine. You're all good?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Happy New Year.
Same. How you been, all right?
The irony.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Crazy days. How was your Christmas and everything okay?
Yeah, just quiet, you know, didn't do much. Just went to friends for Christmas Day and... Yeah, I don't really do New Year. It's just another day to me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, same. Yeah, just keep it quiet, huh?
Yeah.
Nothing else happening too much? Just
no, it's been, you know, reasonably quiet since last time we spoke. Not done over much and not really been anywhere. I think since we last spoke, I went to the conference on the South Coast and did three talks.
That's
there.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed that. That was a great long weekend, you know. So it was it's nice to meet with lots of like-minded folk, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet it is. Yeah, they're out there.
Are you able to kind of mix with like-minded people, or is it quite isolated out there?
It's pretty good, yeah. I think definitely a good idea to get to the big protests that have happened, you know. When you get out there for the day, it's pretty crazy. It's been good. There's groups everywhere around Australia. You just got to find out online where they are. There's groups that meet all around areas, so every Sunday almost these groups meet around the place, so and you just go and they have barbecues and things in the park and the kids go, so just groups of like-minded people. And one I went to, I spoke to a guy, he's like really, you know, same as us. It was just amazing, you know. And he's they know what's going on. It's good, but they're just being quiet. But it's good, yeah. People are around everywhere, you know. I think, well, we'll cover it tonight anyway. I think we're going to see more of this anyway for a lot of reasons. But it's okay, you know. It's not too bad. And if you want to get along to protests, I always recommend that to people because you're just like a sardine in a can, and anyone you talk to understand, they get it, you know, and it's good. Yeah. It's good. That's all you want.
Are you still locked down, or are you more free now?
It's weird. It's just weird. Right. It's just weird. We can cover it a bit, and
sure.
I don't understand really some of it, but it's weird days, man. Yeah. It's kind of got a shade of creepier, you know. Anyway, into the new year, it's crazy.
All this business with the tennis guy,
Djokovic, yeah, all sorts of things going on. All sorts of things going on. It's going to be a year of that. A lot of little tricks, you know. Keeping our eye on things.
Yeah,
as best we can. Amazing, you know. I was looking at the website tonight. I'm trying to do some more work on it and put up some new things. I was looking at our first podcast was June 19, 2019.
Was it really?
Titanic's Last Secret. Yeah. Gosh. Time flies, eh?
Certainly does. Got 2.5 years, my God.
Yeah. Yeah, there was that's right.
Back when the world was normal, eh?
It was June 19, 2019. Yeah. We're talking about the Titanic book, just covering that. That's right when I started all sorts of things on the website as well, was going to work it out anyway. Interesting. There's a whole archive of people can go back to 2015 when I first started the website and the podcasts are on there. A lot got erased off YouTube when that was, I didn't back a few up, so I've been managed to redo some and,
right.
Yeah, you gotta really back stuff up and you gotta have some kind of hard drive, I guess.
Well, I mean, YouTube is a waste of time now, I think. I mean,
it's a waste of time. Yeah. I haven't looked back. It doesn't bother me. Just, I had podcasts up there that I didn't save. They were only there. Yeah, that was me because I didn't have a website. I started podcasting. I was like, where am I going to put them? And so I learned how to whack some up on YouTube, and that was very earlier on. And some of those just stayed up there and they circulated. And then when they took the channel down, I was like, oh, I didn't realize that. I didn't. I should have done it. I was trying to get around to it, but I was busy. That's okay. That's what happens, you know. Trying to build again over on BitChute and stuff anyway. We you know, that's okay. It's all good.
Yeah. I mean, I've just set up I'm not very techie. I've set up a BitChute channel now, so I've got two videos on there.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Yeah, we're doing another one tonight, so that'll be number three. So you've got to start somewhere, haven't you?
Yeah, BitChute's been great. I'm really happy with it. Yeah, it's been good, and I find it better than YouTube actually. YouTube, you can get a lot of followers, but it doesn't mean they're on there. But I found BitChute more. Yeah. You know, it's better people and into all this stuff, and they're keen on everything you put up, which is good as well.
And you don't get cancelled on there as well, which is an important point.
No, I'm uploading freely, and it's been good. They've actually changed, they've fixed some things recently, which is nice, on how to upload. It seems a lot quicker and easier. It's having some upload problems a lot of people were before, but it seems a lot easier now, which is nice. Do you connect at all with Michael Walsh?
No, I don't know him.
Oh,
is he Brit or?
Yes. Yeah, he has the Europa website. He's an author as well. Was chatting with me. Anyway, he was saying that Amazon took all his books off as well. They deleted his account. On there. Yeah, Mike Walsh.
Is this the guy that does really controversial stuff about the war and stuff?
This is Europa, his website.
Europa, the Lost Battle and all that.
Yeah, all that stuff.
Oh, wow, yeah.
He's got all those really big books, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he does some pretty heavy stuff. A lot of stuff on Hitler and everything, but got hammered.
Yeah, I'll just put my BitChute channel on there for you. Just if you want to add that to the podcast for me, then I'd appreciate that. Just put it in chat.
Okay. Okay, so it's your official channel. Good idea.
Yeah.
Glad you did that. That's there you are.
Yeah.
Let me subscribe.
Thank you.
And I'll put it in the links. Starts off slow, but it moves once people find out about it.
Thank you very
much. I'll put it up too, and put that link in there and share it tonight, okay?
That's great, thank you.
But it's a good channel. Yeah. It's one I recommend. There's a few around. I'm on Brightian, which goes well. I like that as well.
Yeah.
It's a good, easy format, and there's a lot of good listeners there. I find it quite popular. But BitChute's gone the best. And I know there's Rumble and there's a lot of others, but I just find them...
Odyssey
seems good too. That seems like a really good one, but I just find BitChute great. I mean, and it's easy to use and it looks nice and it grows. Plus, I have a BitChute slider on the website, so I load all the latest BitChute channels and videos into there as well for the public to click on and watch and see with the links attached. And I can also put them into our breaking news section at the top of the website. And I'm putting in another breaking news as well on the side of the website because there's so much information anyway. So I load all that in there. So we'll share it around and get it going for your podcasting there. And put the files for you through as well if you want to share these ones or the full files up to you.
There's only two on there, but
you can share these as well. They're pretty small files. They should go up okay.
Yeah, we're doing episode number three tonight, so should be fun.
John Hamer Official, guys, for the members there are listening now, John Hamer Official, and I'll put the links up there. Are you ready to go, John?
Yeah, ready when you are, mate.
Okay. hour okay for you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We are plugged in and ready to rock and roll. So Kraz Files podcast with Adam and author and researcher John Hamer is plugging in with me tonight from the UK for John's very first show on the Kraz Files podcast for 2022. Wow, it's quick. We're already kind of looking at the middle of January. I just can't believe it. But finished up last year with great shows with John, and he's back again this year. So it's going to be an incredible year. We always say buckle up, folks. So we've got a lot of information to cover. That's for sure. It's incredible. And we just stay positive and keep researching and moving forward and keep the conversation rolling as we move into 2022. So everything's up on my website, krazfiles.com. Please enjoy. Contact me anytime through that website. Hi to the members, new members. You guys are awesome. Thanks for your support. You can support me over there as well. And I hope you're enjoying the new nightly news episodes that I've been doing, just breaking down all the news that's coming through. John, this is absolutely incredible. I don't get a chance on podcasts or anywhere to put, I don't know where to put this stuff. I've started a nightly news breakdown, just breaking down the mainstream media, you know, in my own way, as I see it, and mixing in everything that's coming through on all the channels and on Telegram and what the members are posting me, gives me a chance to just, put out my view of the world and go over all the latest for the members. So I hope you guys are enjoying that, and plenty going up. As John, we were just talking to John Hamer. He's got a new official BitChute channel, John Hamer Official, and I'll put the links in the podcast description, of course, tonight. And we're over on BitChute as well. So all that is now attached to the Kraz Files website. We've actually put up a new little button area you'll see down there with all the social media. You can just click on those and go over to Gab and all that, and much easier, much neater and nicer. So enjoy the website, folks. John, how are you going, buddy? Good to have you back for 2022. We're busier than ever. And I got an exciting little bit from your website, Falsification of History. Welcome to the Masquerade, looking at this incredible new book that is about to launch. But before we have a little chat about that and what's going on there, how are you going?
I'm doing good, Adam, yeah. Good. Under the circumstances, of course. Yeah.
I know. We've got to do good. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. We just do the best we can.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard.
And Happy New Year to you all out there as well. I know it's a little bit belated, but, you know,
all right.
To all the Adam's regular listeners, I wish you all the best for 2022.
That's right. How you been, John? How was your Christmas and New Year's? Did you get to have a little bit of a break and see your family and stuff like that?
A little bit.
Have a rest?
Yeah, just a little bit. Yeah, I don't have much family actually. Recently, about 12 months ago, separated from my wife.
A lot of that.
But I saw my two sons, who have grown up now, of course, between Christmas and New Year, so that was nice. We had a nice time. Spent Christmas Day with friends, and I don't really do New Year, you know, it's just another day to me. But yeah, it was all very quiet, but very pleasant, very relaxing. It was a nice break from all the crap that's going on, for sure.
That's right. And big year anyway, we're going into. We just have to keep moving forward, don't we? And, you know, when you get this far as we are down the rabbit hole, there's no way back. For any of us who are doing this kind of research and anyone listening to these podcasts, there's no way back for us, guys. We just have to keep going forward, and we can't give in to this game of fear. We keep calling their bluffs and we move forward. We're still here. You're here, John. I'm here. Our listeners are here. I'm unmasked. I'm unjabbed. I'm unafraid. I'm not QR coding. I just went to the shops today. Everyone was in masks and QR coding. I walked in and out. The guy was nice. I'm not having any problems. I'm still moving forward, and we are surviving and we are alive. And so I'm calling out a massive psychological operation using fear as a weapon to get bloody jabs in your arm and get you to submit. And we have not done that, and we're still here. And we just want to let people know that we're still here and we're still talking, and no one's forced me to do anything yet, John, as well as you. Are you seeing the same thing, that we're calling out their bluffs and just moving forward and taking day by day? Although it is hard we have to navigate the system around us, and we have to learn how to do things. It hasn't been easy for us here. We've had to change our business and the way we earn a living and everything, and it's much more restricted now, but we're still going okay, because new things pop up, and you've got to make the best of it, but keep studying and keep on top of what they're doing, don't you?
Yeah, and keep resisting, non-complying. I think you guys have had it pretty bad over the last 12 months, from what we're hearing over here. It's not been a picnic this side of the world, but it's certainly not been as bad as you guys have had it. And, unfortunately, people like your PM and your governors of states are, they're just basically, linked into the powers that be, the World Economic Forum, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, who are really running this show. And those guys are obviously being highly paid for doing all the shit that they're doing to all you guys, it's with this new Omicron, this new moronic Omicron version that we've got going around now, allegedly. We've got an epidemic of cases here now. It's gone crazy, the number of cases. No deaths. Well, very, very few deaths, and certainly no more than you'd expect in a normal flu season anyway. But of course, they're all being put down to this new variant, and the testing's been ramped up. So, of course, you're going to get more positive results the more tests you do, aren't you? Not that they're even tests, because the PCR technique is just that. It's a technique. It's not a test. Perry Mullis, the inventor of it, said that it shouldn't be used to test for diseases. All it does is magnify genetic material that it picks up. So, it's all nonsense, of course. We already know this. So, what I'm saying is probably pretty superfluous to most people. But, we did have quite a bit of freedom from July till December. And then in December, because of this new variant, they decided that they were going to restrict us a little bit more again, so we're now having to wear masks in shops and restaurants and pubs and all that stuff. But that's all really, but not a lot of people are taking any notice of it. Well, maybe 50%. You go in shops and about 50% people are wearing masks, but there's no real restrictions like the was the year before, when every time you walked into a shop someone stood at the door and saying, put your mask on. None of that anymore. It just seems to be kind of a, he's supposed to wear masks, but no one's bothering kind of thing. So, I don't think we should allow ourselves to be lulled into any kind of a false sense of security, because this thing's far from over yet. I don't want to put a dampener on the day, but, they're gearing up for something worse. I mean, we're looking at, did you send it me? I watched a video last night about how the digital ID is going to be coming in Australia very shortly. Yeah, and once that happens, it's going to be very difficult to avoid being affected by it. From what I can remember of it, I was very tired when I watched it, but it sounds pretty onerous. What's going to be happening in Australia very soon? And, of course, that's not just Australia. Eventually, that will be rolled out across the world, and that's the plan, unless we stop them. And I think the way that we stop them, as I've said many times on this show, is by peaceful non-compliance and just general resistance, and also by making people aware that, they're sleepwalking into tyranny, if we're not already there,
Yeah, that's right. We'll talk a little bit tonight about the change of how I'm looking at this year. There's been such a change in the information that they're putting out, but it is crazy. Yeah, it is really nuts. I mean, It's so crazy in Australia what's going on, you know? I mean, I sit here every day and I just shake my head in disbelief. Yes, one day we're coming out of it and everything's good, and the next day, it's a disaster again. I mean, we've just had the Premier of Western Australia lock the entire state off from the rest of Australia. So Western Australia, Perth, is now locked off from all of the country.
No transiting in and out of
Western
Australia.
There's no way in unless you're a politician or one of these people. I don't know. Yeah. And if you are, it's only under extreme circumstances that you could ever even be able to get in there anyway. And you've got to report to him every 3 hours and take all these tests. And it's just insane. I mean, and they've got they're telling us they got three cases, and and then we just had the Prime Minister Scott Morrison come out and said they're not doing this anymore. They're over this. We're moving forward now. We're not locking down. We're opening up. And then they're doing it again in the Northern Territory. You know, on our last show, we were talking about Michael Gunner in the Northern Territory, and then he disappeared for a while, and everyone was like, "Oh, he's gone. His tail's between his legs. He's disappeared," and now he's come back. And now he's worse than ever. He's gone bananas, you know. He's forcing these boosters. He's threatening fines. It's some amazing things. Now, what has hit home in Australia, I think, that has really shocked people, not you and I and our listeners, because we were trying to warn everyone and we've been telling everyone. I told people that I know and they didn't listen. That it's not just one or two jabs. There's more. Don't, as you said, John, so perfectly, and I've used that quote ever since that last shows we did. Don't negotiate with terrorists, and don't do these deals with the devil. Don't do it. And people did, and now they're finding themselves in a situation in Australia, in Victoria, and all these places where they're. They're now saying that if you don't get your booster, then you're unvaccinated.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now in Victoria is quite extreme. They're saying you don't have a job. We're going to fine you now. They're threatening fines, just like they're doing in Europe. They're doing that now in Austria. They're telling millions of people, not just the ones that didn't want and who have been protesting and fighting the government and all this stuff on the streets. Now they're telling all the millions of people who did the right thing and played ball that your jabs are useless and you got to get another one now or you're unvaccinated. Back in our basket. So that's what we say, John. Welcome back. We've been here all along. We tried to tell you, but come on our side because we need you. So a lot of people. I spoke to some actually, and a guy I know. He's a good man, and he's just bitter. He got it for his work, and he's just so upset now. And I've been mentioning this on some podcasts, John. I know a lady who's had them as well, and now she's been tested positive for COVID, and she's wearing two masks, and she's isolating, and her life's been a misery since she got them. And I'm fine, you know, and I they just won't listen. I don't know what to tell them, but the people who are getting these inoculations are starting to get treated very poorly. And they're starting to get treated like we have been treated all these months, and they don't understand why, and it's a very big shock for them, and that's what I always said. This is going to be a big hammer blow for these people over their skulls, you know. They're not physically and mentally and spiritually prepared, John, for this kind of double-crossing and what the system's doing for them. They have so much trust in the government, and they're good people, and I feel sorry for them, but look, I've got a family to look after and myself, and we must move forward.
Yes.
We tried to tell you, what can you do?
Yeah, I mean, what the governments around the world seem to be doing now is this kind of, as you put it, double-crossing. That they're telling you one thing and doing another all the time. And this is a well-known psychological technique. You know, and they do it at places like Guantanamo Bay. They do it in you know, communist China. They do it in the former Soviet Union. And it's just a way of making people comply, because it confuses the brain. And it makes you more malleable, more compliant, and it also makes you fearful And, fearful people, as we know, are more likely to be easily controlled. And this is exactly what they're doing. It's almost like brainwashing techniques that they're using. And it's certainly NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, because these people are masters of the human psyche, not necessarily the people who are doing it, but they have people who work for them who are. And they know exactly, which levers to pull and, which buttons to press in the human psyche to make us more compliant. And this is what they're doing. And of course, the people who fall for this are the masters who, as you just said, believe, implicitly in what the government tells us, because they wouldn't lie to us, would they? Why would they do that? But they don't realize that this is not about any virus. It's just not about any virus, whether or not the virus exists, and I highly doubt it. It's not about virus, it's about control, and it's about turning us all, turning the entire world into something resembling the communist Chinese state, because they're using that as a model for everything they're doing. That video that I mentioned to you before about what's coming on down the line very, very shortly in Australia, the digital IDs, that's exactly modeled on the Chinese situation, the Chinese system, where people are very, very tightly restricted. They know your every movement. They know exactly what you've been buying. They know where you've been, and all the time. So it's a complete full spectrum control system, and this is exactly what they want to bring in. So, they're just using the virus, for anyone who doesn't know that out there, and I guess most people listen to this already realize that, but I'll say it anyway. They're just using the virus as a front to bring in this totalitarian control system. It's all it's about, not about any virus at all.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's
And
an incredible feat. It's an incredible,
it is.
psyop that they've done on us. And
It's. I try to cover all angles and look at this at as other people do, I try to put myself in their shoes. Some people are just gone. Like
Oh, definitely.
I have neighbors that are just, they're gone. They're absolutely gone. They don't want you near their property if you they there's people that don't want you anywhere near their property if you're not vaccinated, or wearing a mask. They don't want you touching anything. They're gone. There's no way back for them. But a lot of people, just seem like really good people. They just they got sucked up in it all, and it's really sad to see. They just on Monday this week, they started inoculating 5-year-olds in Australia, up to what, 16 or whatever year olds, something like that. But they're jabbing 5-year-old children in Australia now, which is sick. And we have a lot of distractions going on as well with the sports and things. It's quite concerning, actually. But this is the sickest thing of all. I mean,
Absolutely.
this is just
Absolutely.
this is de demonic entities going after our
Yes.
kids in broad daylight, and it just makes me absolutely
Absolutely.
sick. I saw some images from Adelaide, for example, of the Women and Children's Hospital down there, and people put up on social media. It's filled with these young little kids from 5 upwards with their parents in masks, marching them in to get this death venom injected into their
Wow.
bodies. Is just beyond me. I mean, I
No,
mean,
it's terrible, Adam.
this is it's worse than terrible, John, because when
Yeah.
you're a little kid, when you're brought into this earth realm, and your own parents become your own, your worst enemy in a way by
Yes.
offering you up to the fires of Moloch, offering you up to the fires of hell. I mean, who can you trust in this world when your own parents do that to you, and they think they're doing the right thing. They really do. They all think they're doing the right thing, and they're helping save humanity, and they just don't see the scam. They don't see the massive scam that there is no virus. There never was. We've kept talking about this on this podcast over and over and over again. There's no virus, never was. There's no variants. It's not real. None of it existed. It's a massive psychological operation for control, as you said, and to bring in this new world order system. And the whole digital ID system is all part of that beast grid that they're going to bring in on us, you know. And I'm hoping people are seeing it. But we have a very crazy situation where you've got us and you've got a lot of people who are researching, a lot of people going to the protests and who are waking up and they're not happy with what's happening. And it's got a lot of people, John, as we always say, they're like bowling pins. You hit in the bowling alley and one's just rocking back and forth about to fall. They don't know where they are. And you have a lot who will just go down with the boat and they will never listen to you. They will just go down. Yeah. I know people, as I said, who are double jabbed with Pfizer jabs. They're being tested positive with COVID. They're isolating. Their holidays are ruined. They're depressed. They're not feeling well. They're sick.
What was the point?
Yeah, that's what I said, John. When they end up in hospital sick from the inoculations that they were given and they end up on ventilators and then dead, them and their families will think that it was COVID. That's what they're doing. It's getting so sick, John. Now it's getting absolutely so sick that they're covering for the injuries that are clearly being caused by all these jabs, to the point where we get the sickest country in the world, New Zealand. They've just okayed euthanasia for COVID patients. What they're saying there is patients who are being admitted to hospital with COVID-19 can die by euthanasia if the doctors decide that they might not survive. So here you have a lot of people who are being given basically a lethal injection. They're getting sick and heart problems and all sorts of stuff. They're going to end up in hospital and they're going to be made sicker in there. And then they're going to give them another lethal injection to kill them for a virus that never existed. So this is the whole thing. That is one of the sickest things I've ever read, John, that they're going to euthanize patients now in New Zealand who have COVID, but they're sick from the jabs. I mean, do you get any worse than that, mate?
Well, I'll tell you, this has been going on in the UK ever since the beginning. There's a private criminal prosecution underway of, you know, the four protagonists of this, one of which was Matt Hancock. The names are probably not familiar to Australian listeners, but there's four senior government officials, stroke senior health guys, who are being taken to court for mass murder, because what's been going on, and this is absolutely provable, they've been euthanizing people covertly. And there's evidence to suggest that as many as 136,000 people between the start of this crap back in March 2020 and the middle of 2021 have been euthanized using a drug called midazolam, which is one of the drugs that they use in American lethal injections, you know, for executions. And, you know, there's stacks of evidence that this has been going on. So this is going to court very shortly in a private prosecution. And the good thing about it is that they did actually try to do it last year as well, beginning of last year, but it was thrown out of court for lack of evidence, they said. But now they've spent the next year, the last year, amassing absolutely mountains upon mountains of evidence. And they've engaged one of the top lawyers, barristers in the UK for the prosecution. They've got a couple of senior police guys on their team as well. And, you know, this is going ahead. And if it does, I think this will have a massive impact on the elite plans, shall we say, for all this nonsense that's going on. Now, the other good thing about this is that the barrister has also made it plain that if any judge throws this out before it comes to court, they will go after him for perverting the court. They tightened it up. You know, they've kind of put kind of a protective barrier around it, so it looks like it's definitely going to go ahead. Of course, we never know for sure, because these people, you know, they don't take any notice of the law. The laws are for people like us, not them. But we'll see, and I think it'll be highly significant if that does. You know, I think the whole thing will collapse. Certainly in this country. Because, you know, these people are mass murderers. There's absolutely no question about it.
That's right. You got to get that feeling. There's this desperate behavior going on, man. It's crazy. We have a lot of problems with the current prime minister covering for pedophiles. He has a a member of under him in his parliament right now who raped a girl anally, and she committed suicide. And it will come out who he is, and he's trying to cover it. And also, he's got a buddy very close to him in the Hillsong Church fiasco, and this guy's a pedophile as well. And he's going up in the courts as well. I mean, it's just happening everywhere. The media are lashing out. You can see this desperate behavior, which is kind of the theme of tonight's podcast, because I think it is really important if we look at what they're doing. I mean, the crazy thing is, John, here they're telling us that, you know, oh, 95% of people have double jabbed and, you know, and all of this. But why are they doing this then? What's going on here? I mean, why are they still crucifying people and destroying people's lives and jobs and shutting off states and threatening fines and all of this crazy stuff if so many people are getting their jabs? So we know they're lying.
Yes.
But we had this with old Boris Johnson, old Bozo the Clown. He's the same as our Prime Minister here. He came out telling porkies, and that's been exposed in the expose and other great articles that have come out. He lied about, 90% of COVID-19 patients in the ICU being unvaccinated. Now, they've been that in Australia as well, but they can't even swallow their own lies. For example, in New South Wales, I'm in Sydney, they're saying that nearly 95% of the entire population of New South Wales is double jabbed. But then they're coming out and saying that the unvaccinated are filling the ICU units. So you're telling me that barely 5% of the population in New South Wales are filling all the hospital ICUs all around the New South Wales, all around the state, you know.
That's but a joke, and, isn't it?
Yes, and it was. I watched the video with Boris Johnson. He's a classic. He said, "I've got direct leaks from doctors. They're telling me the unvaccinated are filling the hospital beds." And it's like, come on, Boris. Anyway, these articles blow that to pieces, and they show you the incredible graphs here. If you're into the daily expose.uk, they've got some wonderful work up, and they show you the graphs compared to fully vaccinated and unvaccinated and who's actually going to hospital. And it's pretty frightening, John, to be honest. So, you know, they're telling porkies, they're lying through their teeth, they're like desperate car salesmen. And we can see that coming out now, you know, with all sorts of things, which we'll cover a little bit as we go on tonight. But are you seeing this as well? Because, you know, last year when we always ended our shows, we always say that this is this system seems to be collapsing on itself, and it's desperate to get us to contract, to suck us into this matrix system. And we always say that, well, you know, they're getting really, really, really desperate with their lies and their threats, you know. It's that's why we said, folks, buckle up for 2022. We're going to go through a big storm, but we just have to go through it.
Exactly.
And keep calling it out.
Yeah.
It seems like you're seeing this as well.
Definitely. I mean, talking about Bojo the Clown, you know, he's under real pressure at the moment. It looks like he's going to be forced to resign. I don't know if, again, you guys over there are aware about what's been going on. He's been caught having parties during lockdown.
I read that.
Yeah, and not just on one occasion, apparently on two or three occasions, you know, it's been happening. And but having said that, I suspect this is all a ruse. Okay, I think they want rid of him, and I think they want rid of him is because he's refusing to lock down the country again because of this Omicron thing. I think he's actually more liberal than we give him credit for, liberal with a small L. You know, I think he's under pressure from the people who, you know, his puppet masters to actually lock the country down, but he's refusing to do that. So I think this has kind of been a trumped up thing that they've released. You know, it's probably all prepared in advance just in case this kind of thing went on. But they've got videos of the parties, et cetera, et cetera. So I think they do this in order to kind of put that in reserve, just in case, you know, they need some excuse to get rid of someone. And I think this is what they've done to Boris. And it looks like he's probably on his way out now. So no doubt he'll be replaced by someone who's much more hard line and is prepared to do the puppet master's bidding. That's what I suspect anyway. I've got no proof of it, but it you know, judging from going from past experiences of stuff like this, I believe this is a definite possibility. So we'll see on that. But yeah, it's quite interesting.
Is it interesting, the difference between Germany and you know, these other countries, Austria and stuff, isn't it?
Yes.
What they're doing to the public there, they haven't tried that on the on the British people yet,
No.
and it doesn't seem to be. It's just weird. I mean, you're
Yeah.
in Europe there, you're so close, and this is this extreme. I mean, it's
Yeah.
so extreme what they're
Yeah.
What they're doing and the language they're using and the threats and the
Yeah.
police against people. I can't believe what I'm seeing in the Netherlands. I mean, that is such a low-key peaceful country. I mean, you're just seeing this war on the streets, you know? It's unbelievable. And this all goes back to, you know, these guys were going through this a lot earlier than us here in Australia, and they complied. I think what I'm seeing is a lot of people, they did. And they got their jabs and they did what they were told and they thought they were helping. And now they're seeing they're being double-crossed and they're angry.
Yes.
And this is the whole situation where we could start to see civil wars and even some kind of martial law system being brought in.
Yeah.
We don't want to see that, but obviously, you know, they seem like they're trying to stir up the hornet's nest and
Definitely.
create rage and anger. And it's sad to see the police fighting the people, and we're all being turned on each other when we're not looking in the right direction here and identifying the real enemies.
Well,
We're
it's the old
fighting
divide
each
and
other.
conquer strategy, isn't it? You know,
It's perfect and old school.
the only way they can control, you know, millions, billions of people is by dividing and conquering, and that's what they're doing. You know, we've got the vaccinated versus the unvaccinated, the believers versus the non-believers, or whatever you want to call it. But just, you know, just touching on the UK situation again, you know, compared to a lot of, you know, countries, it's certainly in the civilized, you know, Western world or whatever you want to call it. The UK has got off pretty lightly through all this. Now, I find that rather strange, actually. I thought at the beginning of this that we'd be the real examples to the rest of the world in a sense. But it, you know, because we're, you know, the UK is obviously it's the epicenter of the New World Order, you know, the old British Empire and all that. And you know, I thought we would be in for a really tough time, but surprisingly, I think, you know, we've had it fairly light, you know, compared to places like Australia, New Zealand, Canada. Maybe those three countries are like the testing ground. I don't know. But like you said, there's other places as well, Germany, Austria, the Netherlands, and yet Scandinavia is, you know, they're just carrying on as normal. You know, it's like as though nothing's happening in Scandinavia. So what's all that about? You know, can't people wake up and see that none of this is makes any sense? You know, it's all incongruous. You know, America as well has been hit pretty badly in places, not in every state, but some
No.
states are really bad. So yeah, I don't understand what's going on there. I wish I did, but no doubt we'll find out in due course.
It's what's your thoughts, as I just mentioned before, the language and the shift, the change that we're seeing here, because we're seeing it now in Australia. It's so strong, because if I look back to, say, well, around what the start, say for example, around this time last year, 2021, when they were starting to push the inoculations onto the public, we had one of the lowest jab rates in the world.
Oh, that's
Actually,
right.
the lowest, if you remember, and it was this whole so-called bungled rollout and everything, but and all this. But you know, they brought in a military general to oversee the Operation COVID Shield. They brought in the military. We had the worst lockdowns in the world. Melbourne suffered the longest lockdown in the world, according to the media and the government. If you get COVID, you're dead. You know, it's the you are dead if you get it. Everyone around you's going to die. There's zombies in the street falling over. John, the hospitals, there's zombies spilling out the windows. The nurses are screaming. It's like a hellish, nightmarish, dystopian horror movie.
Yeah.
And this is what we were told. And they pushed and pushed and pushed and pushed the jabs, and the, you know, the pharmaceutical corporations, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, these ones. The government, yeah. And the language coming out and from the media, everything they were telling us. I've got all the files. I saved it all. We covered it all on these shows that these jabs were your best defense. They told us if you get these jabs, it will protect you from COVID. That's what they were saying. The whole thing, this was protect you. It's going to protect you from COVID. This is the only way you got to get it. It was unbelievable. And then now it's all changed this year. It's just unbelievable how it's changed. Now we've got all these health experts coming out and saying, well, it's no more than your yearly flu, and there's less people in hospital than we get on any given year with the flu and all of this. So now we have the health department coming out in New South Wales saying, look, you know, if you get COVID, just stay at home, have some orange juice, watch some TV and get a warm woolen blanket and you'll be okay. And then they're telling you that Delta is weaker than COVID. And now the Scott Morrison, the Prime Minister of Australia, just came out the other day and said that Omicron is 75% less than Delta.
Yeah.
And you're just like, so that's basically not even a cough, John. And and so this is, I'm just sort of quickly going over, it's not all of it, I'm just quickly going over the language that we're seeing.
Yeah,
and now we've got the Pfizer CEO, the Jewish Albert Bourla. This guy's as creepy as they come. They've propped him up out of his coffin, and he's sitting up out of his coffin, and now he's telling you, if you saw the videos, John, that the Pfizer jabs offer you very little, if any, protection at all. He's come out and admitted that. Then you've got the AstraZeneca guys coming out and saying, look, you shouldn't be giving people boosters. It's not going to work and all of this. But then at the same time, we've got these Pfizer CEOs saying we've got a new inoculation coming out for all the variants in March. And then so we've got this whole weird thing going on in Australia at the moment as well, where they're basically telling you that it's not really working and all of this. And it's really strange because if I go back to last year, they were locking down cities in Australia and locking down states for one or two cases. We studied that. We got it out there. There was two people and they were locking down Sydney and locking down Melbourne. Now we've got more cases than ever. Than we ever had in this country, but they're not really locking down. They're saying we're going to open up. You know what I mean? So what's going on now in Australia is that we didn't have anyone vaccinated before last year, at the start of last year, and we didn't have any cases, maybe one or two, and they were locking down. Now we've got 90% of the public double vaxxed, and we've got thousands and thousands and thousands of COVID cases, and the hospitals are full of COVID patients. So this is that whole thing that you were talking about before. We just, what's going on here? It's absolutely insane. They're telling you that it works, it doesn't work, we're going to lock down, we're not locking down. I would have to assume this is all part of this psychological operation where they, that you were talking about, kind of Stockholm syndrome type thing. Just, I don't know what else to say. It's absolute madness. Because right. People went and got their jabs thinking that it would protect them, and now they're being told, nah. You know what I mean? It doesn't work. And sorry about that, Jim.
Yeah. This goes back to what we were saying earlier in the show, doesn't it? you know, they're telling us one thing, doing another. They're constantly contradicting each other and themselves. And it's creating this confusion in people's minds. So that it's a psychological technique, as I said before. It's about making us malleable. It's about making us compliant. About confusing us, making us fearful. You know, it's like the old good cop, bad cop thing, you know. Used to get, you know, you get two cops interrogating the suspect. One of them's really nasty and vicious, and the other one's saying, you know, when the other guy's not in the room, oh, don't worry about him, you know. Talk to me, you know, I'm your friend, you know, everything will be okay. You know, just tell me what's on your mind. Just tell me the truth, you know. Don't worry about him, I'll deal with him, you know. So it's that old, you know, yin and yang. It's the hot and cold, you know, the two opposites. And they just use that technique to prey upon people, you know, and this. But I think it'll backfire. I really do. I think that technique is actually waking up a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, I hear when I'm just out and about in the street saying, well, I don't understand this. It doesn't shouldn't make any sense, does it? They're saying one thing and doing another. You know, I've heard people talking in shops like this. And sometimes I kind of interject and say, you need to look into this a little bit more. I said, because it's not what you think it is. And then I just leave it there. And, you know, I've done that a couple of times. I think, yes, it works on a lot of people. But I also think it's having the effect of waking certain people up as well, because they start to think, you know, this isn't right. So I'll look into this a little bit more. You know, and I think slowly and surely we will reach a tipping point where people are, you know, more or less broadly aware of the fact that it is all a scam. And when enough people stop complying, they've got nowhere to go. They can't, you know, what they're going to do? Well, they can't arrest us all. You know,
that's right. So they rely on compliance.
Yeah.
100%, and people still do it. I don't understand why this. It's just ridiculous. I haven't done it since day one, and I just see them now. It's exhausting. It's like, seriously.
Yeah.
It was very sad just before Christmas, John. I don't think I spoke to you then, but we had a situation in New South Wales where they completely took out all the restrictions, and it lasted like a week. But right. It's all part of it. See, we had this new premier come in, and the other premier, Gladys Berejiklian, she's in all this trouble, and, you know, she's a real scam artist, and they pulled her out and they bought this guy, and he looks like Clark Kent. He's got his glasses on, he's very slick, and he's a man of God, and he's got six children, of course, and, you know, everyone thought that this guy was going to save the day, but really what he's doing is the same thing, but it's just incremental. So, you know, he's incrementally brought back all the restrictions, which he said he wasn't gonna do, but he's done it in such a way that people didn't really notice. You know, it's really crazy. But you know, I think it was just before Christmas time last year, he came out and said, "We did it," you know, and he had these memes up on his Twitter account, and I went through it and I saved it all and I covered it. And it was like this big celebration. We did it, 80% double vaxxed in New South Wales. We did it. We got there, you know, like pat yourself on the back. And then all week on the news, he was having schooners of lager and he was out making a clown of himself. There was actually a scene there where he was trying to take the cap off a keg of beer at a brewery, and it spurted all over his glasses and he was giggling. And, you know, it was like a real comedy freak show. And this was all about New South Wales opening up. And then we were told the unvaccinated can go back to life just like everybody else can on the 17th, basically, or the 15th or 17th of December, that we can all go back. No masks, nothing. And then after that, they took out the QR coding, everything. They only had masks for airports and nursing homes. And they actually sent people, businesses, letters saying, if you're not one of these businesses like a gym or something, take the QR code system out. You do not have to wear the mask. It's gone. And that week, John, I was out. I went to a local mall to do some Christmas shopping because I haven't been to these places for over a year. And there were nine out of 10 people were in masks.
Really?
And they didn't have to do that. They were still wearing them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And even today, like, you don't have to wear them out and about. You don't have to wear them exercising. They're saying that you should be wearing them in shops, but they're still wearing them. And I just thought that was astonishing. We've got to the point now where most people are just doing it anyway. And so there was a whole blow up about it anyway. And the Prime Minister of Australia said a very interesting thing, and I saved it. And I don't have it in front of me, but basically, he came out and he said, hey, you know, like, why do we have to make masks mandatory, John? Because I was in Sydney today or yesterday and everyone was wearing them anyway. So yeah, it's the psychological part of this that's important to me, he basically said. You know, they're doing it for themselves now. We don't have to police them. And that's what the Prime Minister of Australia said. So why should we enforce it when they're doing it anyway? And I just thought, wow, can't people see this? Can't they see what's being done here? And now it's really happening. People, we're seeing it all around the world. We're seeing it. It's happening in the US. People are policing each other. They're bossing each other around, screaming, put on your mask, you know, and they're calling people names. People are getting assaulted, attacked. It's just crazy. It's crazy to see that. We want no part of it. And I don't know anyone like that. I'm just calling out what we're seeing and hearing, you know, and that is what we didn't want to happen. We want everybody to get on side, and we want them to recognize what's going on here and fight the real devils, you know, not each other, John, you know.
Definitely.
And it's always going to happen in society, though, isn't it, mate?
Yes. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, the risk of repeating myself, it is a well-known technique, you know, the divide and conquer. It's, you know, they they set people up against each other, because and then they, that leaves them free to get on with whatever the hell they want to do in the background, you know, while we're all arguing amongst ourselves instead of with them.
That's right. It's just amazing. It's amazing. And we've got big studies coming out. I say one today, John, from Bulgarian Pathology Association. They're saying that the COVID-19 PCR tests are absolutely scientifically meaningless. This is coming out all over the world. The masks are meaningless. The tests are meaningless. And what they're pushing now in Australia, John, are the RATs, you know, the RAT tests. And people can't see the mockery behind that.
Yeah.
And the media are actually calling people rats. And there was an article the other day in the Australian media saying that, you know, even if you're double jab, the rats have to get your rats. And I covered it, you know, because I just found it astonishing. So, you know, I just... It's an amazing thing to me, and but it's where this whole thing that we're seeing this year, it's a big shift, and I'm just wondering what their next move is, you know, and I've been covering that. Are they possibly going to go into some new kind of delivery system here as they perfect their weapons being injected into people, and a lot of people die off? I was saying, I don't know if you agree, John, I was talking about this on my show last night, that as new people are born into this and mothers are getting these jabs, and maybe human beings will start to take on this technology that's being injected, you know, as millions and millions die off, and that's what it's all about, and they'll develop new ones and pills and things like that to keep it topped up and connected with the frequencies and the 5G as this all moves on, as all of us die out.
Yeah.
This is real transhumanism to me, and it's incremental, and you won't even know it's happening. And you're not going to peel off your skin and see metal under there like the Terminator. You will basically be merged with technology as this technology being injected in you through the COVID-19 injections rebuilds itself from the inside out and becomes you and connects you to this beast grid. That's how I see it. So they're focusing on the kids now. See how they did it? And they're getting the five-year-olds now, and a lot of them will have reactions and die off, but a lot won't. And as the test goes on, do you feel like I'm right there, or do you have something to add to that this is all an experiment?
Yeah. In fact, this is what my next book, the one after the one that's been published later this month, beginning of next month, is out. That's what I'm going to be working on for the rest of this year. The new book is about the transhumanist agenda. And, you know, it's absolutely, as you say, you know, they're trying to merge man with machine. And, you know, because, you know, we'll be controlled robots by that stage. You know, it's going to take. It's not going to happen overnight, but that's the ultimate goal. You know, you only need to read books by people like Ray Kurzweil, who's a massive proponent of transhumanism, you know, to see exactly what the agenda is. I mean, they don't even hide it. You know, this is where we're going. And this is, and COVID-19 and the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, the Great Reset, you know, Klaus Schwab's Great Reset. That's just a one stepping stone on the way. But the ultimate goal is this transhumanist agenda to turn us basically into human hybrid machines, you know, that they can control remotely. That's exactly what it's all about. Everything. You know, this is the path we're heading down unless we stop them.
Yeah, that's right. It's a massive test, isn't it? And we can see that language coming out of the pharmaceutical corporations, that they're already developing new drugs, whether they're going to be vaccines at first, but it's all leading maybe into pills, something. And I was talking about this on another show about the smart pills. That this was originally done for patients with schizophrenia and stuff, so the doctors could track them to make sure they've taken their medication or they could be a threat to society. But this has a whole other ramifications. And these smart pills, you know, when you take them, they release incrementally the doses of whatever's in there, but also allows this remote viewing, whether you've taken it and everything like that. So complete control, really. So I think people are more inclined to take a pill, whether it's every week or month or 6 months or whatever the hell it's going to be, as this moves on. But yeah, transhumanism, as you said, John, is incremental. It's not overnight. And this is all part of it. And this is why elderly around all over the world have been targeted. Just, it's a massive kill-off. As you were mentioning there with the stats before, I mean, it's just, we don't know. I mean, how many people have been murdered and killed off by these jabs? But it's the young ones they're concentrating on now. And there's a lot of videos and information coming up on BitChute and other channels where people are covering perhaps different inoculations that children are getting with different things in them. So they're testing, they're, you know, all the time. And, you know, I tend to think the human body is so incredible. There could be that that part, you know, where it starts to take, where it starts to connect with each other, and they go on from there. You know, it's a scary thought, folks, I know, but obviously that's what it is. I mean, this is a massive test, and this is where they want to go. And this is why we must, planetary wide, we must beat this digital ID system and passport system. I think if we can push this back, especially in places like Australia and the UK and in parts of Europe, I don't know about the US, but if we can push this digital ID system back, that's going to throw off their plans, John. Yeah, big absolutely. Time, because it's all around that, isn't it? Getting us it is, all into that system. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, again, and it's all about non-compliance. I mean, this is the way that we're going to fight it. You know, it's by refusing to take part in their system. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be easy. In fact, you know, I cannot think of a way around it at the moment. You know, if they're saying that you've got to be double vaccinated to go into shops, you know, then a lot of people are gonna be double vaccinated, plus booster after booster after booster, just for the simple reason that they're gonna need to buy food. And to be honest with you, Adam, I'm not sure exactly where that will take us. I mean, obviously, if people are not allowed to shop for food, which is a possibility, I'm not saying it definitely will happen, but it's a possibility, then, you know, that's gonna be a critical, pivotal point in all this stuff. What is gonna happen then? Are people going to revolt? Are people going to say, we're not taking this anymore? Or are they just going to comply and die, non-comply and die? I don't know the answer to it, but I feel that the only way forward is that non-compliance, whatever it takes, whether it means people escaping into the wilderness and living off the land, I don't know. You know, it's a tricky one, but we'll see. It's a worry, but, you know, nevertheless, you know, I try not to worry about these things. I take each day as it comes. I try not to plan too far ahead and, you know, just take life as it, you know, as it gets thrown at me, basically. You know, I don't think anyone should particularly worry about it. We'll just see what happens. I still have this really strong feeling that good will prevail. You know, throughout all this shit that's going on, I still really feel that very, very strongly, that we will win out in the end. Probably won't be tomorrow or next week or next month, but certainly in the years to come. I think that, you know, I think we will defeat them. I do.
Yeah, we're seeing that, manufactured, attack on the food supply already with meat. Yes. And things in Australia, and we produce 3 times or 4 times more food than we need anyway. And there's only 25 million people in Australia, and it's a food bowl, and they're trying to tell us that there's no food. Bullshit. You know, it's being withheld. You know, and we're getting a lot of weird weather shit and blackouts and things, so I tend to, we were talking last year with, you know, many times that this is going to be a year where we could see something happen with the food. and, you know, weather warfare kind of activity going on, indeed. And that is a scary scenario, John. It is. If food is withheld, then they really got you by the balls, you know. And if there's no power, you know, and supermarkets are shut, and, you know, food handouts go to military or anything, and you've got to go there to get basic medicines, toilet paper and food, you know, handouts to some kind of camps or something. But guess what? You need to be inoculated to get in there. You know, this is a strong possibility. This is why we say, you know, we've got to start storing food at least for 6 months to have what you need. It's worth doing. I've been doing it for a year now. It's really worth your time to start storing stuff away, food and water and stuff to light fires and everything that you can think of, just whatever you can think of. Camping stoves, you know, your gas bottles, just everything, and storing supermarket stuff. It's all cheap at the moment. Get it all. But, you know, you don't need to worry about your diet in this kind of situation, you know, whether it's a cans of baked beans and tuna and things and packets of noodles and rice, all this stuff, store it away, because the supermarkets are already warning here, John, that they're limited. And I haven't seen that yet. So, you know, I'm taking that warning pretty seriously now. And as you said, we don't know how people will react. Will they panic or will they fight back? I don't know. But, you know, we just, as you said, we take one day at a time. Definitely. And just be self-prepared. That's all I would say. I think the system's lashing out, and the more they lash out and the uglier it gets. And it's funny, before we go tonight, John, as well, that we're getting a lot of psyops with, like, these kind of intruders, as I call them. They're trying to act like they're on alternative media side. They're trying to implant all these people. And, you know, as the system tries to maintain control and control us, as more people wake up to it, you know, well, they're going to get more desperate and ugly, and they're going to get more manipulative and cunning, you know, and we just have to keep going through it, you know. So it's a funny old game. But, you know, people just must remember that it's all fear. It's all fear. That's all it is. And once we, in enough numbers, can break back here and fight back and start to win this battle, the most important thing that we can do is raise our vibrational frequencies to that loving state, because this thing, whatever the hell it is feeding on fear, and it's trying to bog us down in a fourth dimensional state, you know, under the quicksand. And we need to raise our vibrational frequencies and become positive. And that's what I'm seeing. And I think that we're going to see more of this. And I think people are fighting back in so many different ways. You can find advertisements all over Australia now to get a job where they don't want masks or anything. You can see businesses all over the country. They don't want to discriminate against anyone. They're open. You can see farmers opening up and everything, and people banding together because they can recognize this threat now. And they understand we're going to go down if we don't stick together on this. And this is a way that we come together and we fight evil, but we do it in a positive way. And we do it together as one. And I think that's what we need to do. They're going to try and get us to fight each other, you know, as it tries to save itself, the system. And this is insidious, I know, but it really is basic if you look at it. So, you know, it's just what we need to do now is get that word out to people. I always try to get information out to people, John, that may have taken the jabs and they're upset and they're feeling alone. We just need to get information out to them and get them on side. And I always say to these guys, get to the protests, meet up with groups, get on social media, start chatting, do what you're good at and get involved. Yes. Don't let this get you down, because you know, you'll end up in hospital and getting chopped up to pieces, mate. You know what I mean? It's not a good system waiting for you there, folks. So, you know, it's, I don't really know what else, John, to finish on. If you want to finish on something, you know, for the people out there, you know, what you think. But I look at where you are, the UK, I just think it's amazing what we're seeing and how many people are recognizing this now, and that we are being scammed and tricked, and we are being sent on each other, and people want change now, all over the world. I'm on Telegram groups where people are posting videos from all over the planet, whether it's Argentina, Bulgaria, Germany, Everywhere, and it's just the masses and masses of people who are marching together and taking off their masks, and they can see this, and just some of these scenes in Italy and all these countries, it's just astonishing. And everybody going together, whether you're vaxxed or not, they don't care. They've had enough, and they can recognize pure evil, and they know where this is going, and we cannot comply anymore. We have to fight back. I don't know what you think, John, if it's going to get kind of civil war or we can beat this before we need to get to those levels.
I don't think it will come to civil war, personally, Adam. Well, A, I don't think anybody's prepared for civil war because, you know, that it needs, you know, civil wars these days would be totally different to civil wars in the past. You know, it was just, you know, I'm just thinking back to the English Civil War in the 17th century, for example. It was just two, you know, armies fighting with very rudimentary weapons, so, you know, which are quite easy to acquire for the ordinary people. But these days, you know, the weapons that the people would be up against of the powers that be would just be overwhelming. I don't think a civil war could actually sustain itself. You know, we can have mass disobedience and we can have civil disobedience and rioting, but I think a civil war is totally out of the question. But one thing I would, you know, just to finish on, the one thing that I would recommend to people is definitely start stockpiling food if you can, if you've got anywhere to store it, you know, just ordinary dried food, tinned foods. You know, I have a friend who's an expert survivalist, and I'm very lucky in that regard because he knows exactly what's what, and he's already stockpiling food, of which I'm a part of, you know, when if it ever comes to that, and let's hope and pray that it doesn't, but if it ever does, then we as a little group of us are perfectly prepared to go out into the wilderness and survive. Not that there's that much wilderness in the UK, but certainly in Australia, you know, if people want to disappear in Australia, it's a much easier task than it is here. The climate notwithstanding, of course, because I know a lot of, you know, the outback, etc., is absolutely virtually uninhabitable, isn't it? But
most of it is, mate.
I would suggest that people do start stockpiling food, even if it's just a preparation for, you know, extreme shortages rather than there being no food at all. Get plenty of canned food in. And dried food like rice and noodles, as you mentioned earlier, it's just a simple precaution that we can all take, and it, you know, it may help to protect us and our families, and even save our lives. You know.
Yeah, that's right, John. I've been doing it for over a year now, water and everything, and we do like online shopping, and you go on like Tuesday specials, and they're just giving stuff away. Yeah. You know, and so we do an entire shopping just to store, and I put it all in containers and label it and everything.
Exactly.
Perfect. And I've always said people go to the camping stores, you can get those, you know, cookers when you go camping with the gas bottles, you know, the butane bottles, and you get packs of those for nothing. I've got hundreds of packs of the things. So you've got cooking, you know, so many things, and just get all that storable stuff. You'll know, I mean, an issue is, and I've got a lot of information up on the websites, one issue for some people is that the storable food, although good, the really good stuff can be very expensive. You know, it can be $300 for 100 meals, and this might be too much. So I would say to people, you know, you go to the supermarkets, you'll notice a lot of the canned stuff. You can get things like sardines and tuna and stuff. It will go well into next year, you know. It'll be okay. And beans and these kind of proteiny things. You know, I was just saying the other night, you can put coconut oil all over your eggs, and that will give you 3 to 4 months of eggs, because it won't let the air inside the eggshell. So it'll keep them fresher for longer. There's lots of ways you can store food and things you can do. You can get your firewood ready and just everything. Make sure you've got candles and matches and lanterns and torches and things, and just put them all in buckets and tubs. And as you said, John, pasta, rice, pasta sauces, all these things, you know, bottles of wine, if you want to, you know, we got like these wine in Australia is like water, you know, so you get these deals, you know, you can get so many bottles of wine, they drop it at your door, you can store that. So if you want a little bit of a treat, you can get nuts and dried things, all sorts of stuff, you know, coconut oil, olive oils, yes. All these things, you know, bottles of stuff. And you go in the supermarket, you turn it over and it'll say expires, you know, December or, you know, October 2023. And you're like, well, that's good. I got it. You know, that's a year, you know, and all this stuff, you know, especially cans, as I said, of spaghetti, beans, soups, all that kind of stuff. John, you don't need to worry too much. Filters, all this kind of stuff, outdoor gear, camping equipment, just put it all together. And it's really good to do as well, like spend a day a week or whatever hours you have available and go in your shed, in your garage, in a room, store it under your house, wherever room you have available to tarp over it, whatever you got to do, and start storing it all. And also what's important is have a couple of bug out bags just in case you have to leave your property where you are, which I'm not saying is going to happen, folks. I'm just saying.
It's just precautions, isn't it?
That's right. I've got good survival Bushman knives. I've got all sorts of stuff in the bug out bag just in case you have to go store some fuel for the car. That's important as well. So every time you go and put a fuel in your car, get some those extra buckets, which are so cheap, and put some extra fuel and put that in your shed as well. I'm sure most people out there listening to this, they know a thousand times more than us. It's just for basics, you know what I mean? Around, don't worry too much about growing fruit and vegetables, because that is a big thing and you got to be onto it, you know. So, you know, I would say just keep living and keep, you know, doing what we're doing, but store all that stuff away. Each time you do your shopping, folks, grab some extra and you'll feel good about it, and put it away in some tubs. And hey, if middle of next year, 2023 comes, or the end of next year comes, and we're still here talking to John and we're all good, then that's okay. What did you lose? But at least you did it. If you're an asthmatic, get some extra puffers. You know, get your medical kits ready. Anything that you may need that's might be hard to get those as well. You know what I mean? You know, water tanks, things like that you may need. Just keep thinking it up. And you can go on crazfiles.com. I've put up articles where there's hundreds and hundreds of PDFs and free books for survival. Classic books that teach you how to do all that, you know, start fires and everything. So, and what to store and how to store meat and things like that.
There's a lot of great basic survival videos.
It is, isn't it?
On YouTube as well. There's a lot of, you know, good information on there, you know. You know, nothing.
I've put those videos up.
You know, obviously some are more advanced than others, but the very basic ones are fine. You know, and I think everybody should be broadly aware of, you know, just basic survival techniques. You know, like I say, it's, I hope we don't have to use them, but it's about preparation, isn't it?
It could be, John. Like from what I've seen, you know, they're trying to scare people into getting these injections. That's what it's all been about, you know. And you know, you call their bluffs and you come through the other side, you're like, okay, I'm here, you know what I mean? The food thing could be short-lived, or power outages. It could be some kind of last-ditch, you know, attempt, you know, to, you know, maintain control. But, you know, if enough people are out in the streets and we're onto it, you know, it's going to be hard for them to get this system through. But all I would say to people is don't panic, just prepare for 3 to 6 months. And that's not much, you know, and you're going to have to get used to being, you know, using the, you know, the basics, but, you know, get some board games and things if the power goes out. But I don't think it'll be too long. I think that whatever they're going to do, it won't go forever. I don't think that's sustainable, John. I mean, they're going to try something, and if they do, it won't be too long. I don't think so anyway. So I would say heavily, we've always said this since last year, 3 to 6 months. Longer's better, but if you can do 3 to 6 months, so if something happens, you can go, as John said, and you've got people or a place where you can go and you can have everything sorted, then do that. That's the best advice and the most positive advice I think we could give on this podcast, because it's a little bit smoky this year. I don't know what they're going to try. As more and more people wake up to this absolute scam, the whole system around us, John, is becoming desperate. That it's almost laughable. You just sit there and you're like, oh my God, how is anyone buying this anymore?
But I
think we've covered the important bullet points tonight. I will say before we go as well, John, I'm hoping that next month in February you will be back on the podcast with me. I don't know what date to promote the new book. You let me know. There's the publication date seems to be February 2022. So let us know, buddy.
I will. In fact, I'm due to speak to my publisher this afternoon.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So it should be. I think back end of this month is looking a bit doubtful now. So I'm pretty confident about February though. But as to exactly what day, I couldn't say at this point in time. But we're close. That's all I can say.
Well, we will be plugging back in February to discuss and promote and talk about the bullet points of John's massive new book, Welcome to the Masquerade.
Fantastic.
And this looks like, looking on the website, John, looks like a very deep journey. It says down the rabbit hole.
We're
going to be exploring a large variety of political and esoteric topics and unmasking the players and their control agendas at the heart of the world's great masquerade. Exposing the perpetrators of these massive crimes against humanity.
It's really an in-depth look into everything that
Rockefeller medicine, big tech. This is going to be great just to give people and it's going to be great to put up on the website as well to promote the book and just to chat about this and get you to cover the bullet points on what people can expect anyway. So that will be a very exciting date. Anything you want to finish on, buddy?
No, I kind of finished before when I was saying about the saying about the survivalist stuff. But I suppose the last message is to everyone, you know, please try not to worry. That's what they want you to do. They want you to be worrying and just take each day as it comes. Wake up and treat every day as though it was going to be your last, because it certainly isn't going to be. But just enjoy life as best you can under the circumstances, and basically don't let the bastards grind you down.
That's right. Everything's just about COVID, isn't it now? And people are forgetting how to live their lives and just zone out. Because as we always say, John, turn the TV off and throw the newspapers in the bin and poof, COVID's gone. Exactly. There's your cure. If you want a cure for COVID-19, folks, turn the TV
off.
Switch off
your TV.
That's right. Boy, man, these scam artists. It's really disgusting. I've covered that so much here. The nightly news segments, John, and the anchorman, and the tone of their voice and their behavior and the blue sets and how they hypnotize people and everything. I've covered it so much. It's such a psychological operation, how they draw people in like a hypnotist, you know, and they suck them into this hour of scam, you know, and people don't even know what's going on. And it's just incredible because they pump that information subconsciously into people's minds. They get it in there, and that's how they get you to contract, as you and I have always talked about. It's not a written physical thing. You're contracting with these people through the content they pump out through the TV, but you're leaving thinking it's just entertainment. But they've planted that seed in there, and you're contracting with them, so you've got to wake up and understand what they're doing. And that's why we break down the media here. It's so important for people to go, wow, I've been scammed. This is a trick. I'm living in an illusion. It really is. And once you see that illusion, like the Matrix movie, it's really incredible. And it just all starts to break down and peel away in front of your eyes, you know. And you look at the nightly news now and you read their papers and you're like, what a joke. I mean, come on, really? But, you know, it's scary how many people kind of, oh, my God, I'm so scared. We've got to break those shackles of fear, folks, and that's what we're going to be doing this year in breaking down this whole virus thing. We've got to wake up here. It's time to grow a pair of balls and wake up here and get, you know, and cast this nonsense aside. And I think it's really incredible what we're seeing around the world, John, especially in Australia. The mainstream media are just becoming pathetic. And it's so funny to see these people turn up to rallies and protests and people just boss and push them out. Seeing, tens of thousands of people putting the finger up to the Channel 7 helicopters and making fun of them and just, yeah. We don't want you here. It's really great. I've never seen this in my life.
No.
How people are turning. And we were talking about that as well in places like Italy. They're all complaining now, the media, because they're not welcome at any rallies or protests where the people are. They just don't want them. They're smashing their cameras. They're forcing them out. They're pointing at them. You get out of here, because they know they're liars. They're liars, and their days are done. And people can see it now. So it's a hard time to be alive. I understand that, and we always say that when we finish. But it's a fascinating time to be alive as well. It's absolutely incredible, and I'm glad I'm here with you, buddy.
Yeah.
And we're able to continue forward here and discuss, so it's going to be great chatting with you next month to discuss your great new book. Take care.
Absolutely. Thanks, Adam, and thanks everyone for listening. It's been a pleasure as always.
All right, we're done. Thanks, buddy.
Great. Thanks a lot, mate.
Good to have you on. Nice chat, and good to break down everything. I'm looking at your book, just the what you're writing there, and it looks like this is going into another direction now. So this is going to be an interesting year, where we're going here and what we know and what we can learn. You know what I mean? It's going to be very, very important. I think you and I discussed this a while ago, that I think we're at that point, aren't we, in history where humanity's going to roll over into this abyss of transhumanism. And once we do that, we can't come back, or we're going to get spooked and we're going to want to return to the old ways. And I'm hoping that happens. I know. I know that's really the best way to explain it, isn't it? Yeah,
definitely. Yeah, we just got to keep the faith, as the saying goes, and just plod on and just do the best we can. And that's all we can do.
Yeah, you kind of think about those old ways, don't you? How important just simple things in life, food, shelter, warmth, family. Just the basic things in life, and I think a lot of people are wanting to return to that, not going forward here, because there's nothing there but cold steel, John. it's not real. It's a total illusion where we're being taken into this matrix system, of technology and everything, and jabs in the arms. It's dehumanizing us. It's humiliating people. And I think a lot of people feel really upset now, and this is a time for us and in Australia as well. A lot of people are feeling terribly double crossed, and I can't be down on them. They got their jabs, okay, and you played into it. You stupidly did it, you didn't listen, but man, if your intent is good and that's the important thing. And,
well, I think that's right, Adam. I think most people are well intentioned. Mm. Yeah,
that's important.
It is. But unfortunately, they are, in a sense, they're part of the problem, aren't they? They're a big part of the problem.
Yeah, I know they are.
But it is what it is, and we've got to deal with it. We've got to deal with them and the bastards that are perpetrating all this shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. That was in the Matrix movie, when he goes into the Matrix simulation and he's walking, when he sees the woman in the red dress, and they're all going to work, and he says, until these people can be woken up, they're still the enemy, they're our enemy, It's just crazy. What we're seeing, but it's a delicate situation going into this year. Because I didn't see this too much last year, but now they really ramped it up. Mm-hmm. Really ramped it up. It's quite sad to see. They're basically saying now that Australians are funny, John. They're good people, but they're really I don't think a lot of them expected this. Just to be told now that you're not jabbed unless you get the booster, and your job's gone. Now that system is showing their fangs. And they can see now that this system that they put so much faith in has just bit them in the neck. And they're like, oh, my God, it's time to man up, wake up, grow a set, get that belly instinct back, get that fighting instinct back, and realize that this system is your enemy and it's not your friend. You know, and to get on with things, protect yourself, your family, and wake the fuck up. You know, because you're just going down. You know, and it's this is ridiculous. You don't play ball with these people. You know, you put on a mask, you're contracting. You QR code, you're contracting.
Exactly.
You do anything that they say, then you're playing into their game and you're caught, you know. These bloody Freemasons, you know, they got you caught. So I think they're starting to finally wake up, although we've been talking about this since it started, but that's okay. At least we're, and our listeners, we're mentally prepared, and that's what it comes down to me.
Yeah.
Because if the worst comes and we go out, then we go out, but we were prepared. Because I think if you're not prepared, it's like a sledgehammer over your head, and you know, it's like having so much faith and trust in something, and then it just bites you back. It's a really hard thing to take. You're like, oh my god, you know, and that's what's happening to poor old Aussies. They're really copping a blow now. They're being treated like shit, John.
After they
were told you got your life and your freedoms back. You know, it's all good. You can fly now. You can go overseas. You can see your family. You can do all this. We love you. You're on our side. You know, you did it. You climbed the mountain. We're all this together. And then, boom, they just bit him in the neck now.
Yeah.
Treating him like terrible. Worse than they're treating, you know, us, the anti-vaxxers, you know. It's sad. It's sad. And I feel for him. But you were told. You were told.
Yeah.
It's the way it is, John. We just keep going forward, buddy, and good luck on the book.
Thank you, man.
Do you have a copy yet of how it's gonna, like a prototype, or
no,
you
it's
get
just
sent a, that when it's done?
Yeah, it's not quite at that stage yet. I mean, it's in electronic form, and we're still proofreading it, and still adding little bits in here and there, and adjusting it, and
so the printing hasn't started.
The printing hasn't started.
Of the book. But that's pretty fast, isn't it?
It's amazing. Once I submit the manuscript, you know, that happens in about a week. So that's not a big deal.
Amazing. The printing systems now, eh? And the covers and the ink and the color. Oh, my God, man. It's like bulletproof. Bullet out.
Yeah.
Yeah, making these thousands of books. So just amazing what they're doing now with printing.
Yes.
It's incredible. So you're just finalizing the little bits and bits and pieces. And then once that gets put through, it's printed. Yeah, it's done.
Exactly. Yeah. So it'll be, it's about a month away at most, I would say.
Yeah, boy, is there a final, like, proofreading of the book, like a...
that's what we're doing at the minute.
A grammatical thing as well to check that everything's in place?
Yeah, that's what we're doing at the minute. You know, it's a joint venture, this, with my friend Shannon in the States. You know, she's written half of it, I've written half of it. We're proofreading each other's work, and then, you know, we're just comparing notes once a week. You know, we do a Skype session once a week and compare notes on it. And, it's actually more complex with two people, as you can probably imagine, than it is with one. Because you've got to get kind of agreements, you know, that about how to do it. But, yeah, it's an ongoing process, but and it's a long process because it's a big book. You know, it's the same size as Falsification of Science. So it's a big book and it's a long process to proofread it and get everything just right. But we're nearly there.
So definitely February at some point.
Yeah, definitely February at some point.
It'll be up for sale, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like I say, once you submit the manuscript, the actual process of getting it onto Amazon doesn't take that long, yeah. So...
good stuff. That will be very exciting. Anything on the doing any more interviews or any talks or anything?
I'm doing loads of podcasts. If you go, you don't have to do it right this second, but if you go on my website and go on to the radio shows and podcasts link, I mean, there's dozens and dozens of links on there. And I've also got my new channel now as well. So, you know, I'll be adding stuff on that on a regular basis. So, yeah.
That's the BitChute one. Yep.
Yeah. I've got a quite an exciting a US radio interview coming up in at the end of January. I was hoping to have had the book out by that time, but unfortunately it won't be. But this is a radio show with 4.5 million listeners.
Who's the show?
It's called Dreams Talk Radio.
Right. That would be great.
Mm.
To promote the book anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's just a shame it won't actually be out at that point. But
well, it doesn't matter. I mean, it's almost out. You can still promote it.
Yeah.
Things move so fast now, you know. It's amazing. All right, good stuff. Good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, we'll plug out for tonight and chat again next month.
Okay, mate. You take care of that family and
all good. I'll check in with you to make sure that the book's out and going, and we might move towards the end of next month anyway, so it's out and so we can promote it. Yeah.
Fantastic. I really appreciate that, mate. And
it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I love promoting and talking with authors here. It's such a great thing. That's why I put the new book slider up on the website for people to promote the books and the work.
Right.
As well.
All helps the cause, doesn't it? I mean,
yeah, it does. Yeah, yeah. I know. I love it. It's great. Books are awesome, and it's just amazing to be sitting here in start of January 2022 talking about this. It's great.
Yes.
It's got to be a positive, right?
Definitely.
Yeah. So we'll take it and move on. Good
All
stuff.
All right, mate. Good stuff.
All right. Chat soon and take care today.
Yeah. You take care of yourself.
And you, buddy.
All the best. Bye for
now. Okay.